virtual reality could be the next greatest frontier in filmmaking. While not mainstream yet, creative minds are hard at work with this new technology, which involves 360-degree camera angles and a full immersion into the film. I'm Kyle Alvarado, sitting in for Charles Horak, and welcome to On Film. My guests today recognize the importance of the next greatest frontier in filmmaking, and they are the Border Scene Film Festival co-founders David Salcido and Dave Witt. Welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate it, bud.
Yeah, great to be here.
Cool. So let's get right to it. Before we dive into the VR aspect of the festival, which is really, really interesting, tell me a little bit about the Border Scene Film Festival.
All right. Well, I can definitely tell you it is a film festival made for filmmakers. All right. Filmmakers are the star at our film festival. In fact, our tagline is champion to the great independent filmmaker. That's what our film festival is. Filmmakers come in from out of town. They're treated like the stars. Yes, we have celebrities, but we take care of the filmmakers. Why do we do that? Well, we want to grow film in the region, everybody. We want those filmmakers to stay or maybe go, hey, Las Cruces, El Paso, the Borderplex area. Man, it's gorgeous. It looks like you're stepping into a scene of a movie.
Yeah.
Why don't we go ahead and film our next film here? That's what I'm trying to sell, guys. I want these filmmakers to stay, make films here, connect some invisible strings, make it so the filmmakers that I'm bringing in from out of town connect with the filmmakers here in town. Last year was awesome. We had a filmmaker actually from Las Cruces move out to New York. He's now working full-time with a New York film crew because of the film festival. I had two films come out from last year's film festival and already scout the area for the next film in Las Cruces because of the film festival. Now, it's already growing with economic development. Now, what else do we need to do? Well, we need to be forward-thinking, looking into the future, making sure that we're tapping into every industry that there is when it comes to film. And why are we doing that? Well, we want to make sure we stay at the forefront. And then, of course, we want to make sure that those independent filmmakers that are making those new genre pieces are also getting taken care of. You gotta be a champion for everybody. If you're doing it for one, you do it for everyone.
And David, what about you? Why did you get involved?
Well, and for me, the fact that we're basically filmmakers who are doing this because we believe that filmmakers are important. When you're doing a film festival, many times they get lost in the shuffle, especially when they're celebrity-driven. And yeah, we could do that. We could bring in the big names and spend all our money on that. But what we'd rather do is bring in the filmmakers themselves and then bring in industry professionals to give master classes and seminars to answer a lot of questions that these guys may have about how to get distributed, how to do art direction, how to cast your film. And if you're an actor, how to get cast in a film, and not just an independent film, but any film. There are some basic rules that need to be followed, and these industry professionals can impart that. So we want every filmmaker who comes here, whether they're from the area or from out of town, even from another country, we want them to go away feeling like they learned something about the industry. And I feel like we're doing that.
And then also leave out of here feeling good about the fact that they traveled here and that they were taken care of, and we treat them like a guest the way that New Mexico does it. And El Paso. I mean, we're very friendly here. I think the people here in this region are just amazing and outstanding individuals, and they're very, very complimentary. They say please and thank you. I can't say enough about the area and the people here. So yeah. It's easy to bring in filmmakers because you know they're going to have a good time.
We were talking earlier, and you had mentioned that you had been receiving entries from all around the world. You'd mentioned that you're the only film festival that accepts veteran films for free. Can you talk about kind of the types of films that are entered into the festival and the quality of them?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a veteran myself. And being that this is a veteran-led event, I wanted to make sure that I took care of that portion that maybe isn't so looked at in film, the veteran filmmaker who doesn't really get the spotlight shined on him so much. So when I was researching other events and the way they do their military aspect, they, of course, all charge military filmmakers to submit to their festivals because they're a veteran festival. That's the filmmakers that they have submitting. And I was like, well, why not just do a regular film festival, make it so that all the other submission fees are covering the veterans' fees. So these veterans are able to submit their films for free, and then I'm able to see some great veteran filmmakers and their films and possibly bring them to the festival and then connect those invisible strings and make it so veteran filmmakers now become professional filmmakers. I thought it was very important to do it for free. Reason being, being a veteran myself, I think that I want to be able to see as many veteran films as there are out there. And there's just not very many people who are U.S. military veterans who get into film. And I don't understand why, because in the military, you're working 12, 16-hour days just like you do on a film set. There's only one difference. When you're walking around on a film set, you're happy. You're like, wow, I'm glad I'm working these 12, 16-hour days. In the military, you don't really feel that way. It's a different feeling that you have.
And a lot of movies came from veteran filmmakers.
Yes, we had over 100 submissions from veterans. It was awesome. All types of genres. Every type of film you could think of, because we were accepting free films from veteran filmmakers who were either the producer, writer, or director of the film. So that means they had a heavy hand in the story and where it went. And these stories, guys, they're incredible.
Yeah, it's true. When you think about movies by filmmakers who are veterans, you think military movies. And it's not like that at all. I mean, some of them are, especially documentaries, of course. But no, I mean, they're just like everybody else. The thing is, they're bringing something else to the table. And their viewpoints on even familiar topics are that much different. So it's fascinating. The whole thing is fascinating to me.
Yes, the perspective a veteran filmmaker has about the world is completely different than someone else who hasn't had those experiences.
Yeah.
So they're going to always look at a story a little differently. So you get a little bit of a different twist on a story that you have never seen before, unless you had a veteran aspect to your film festival, which is really nice. And I'll tell you what, these veteran filmmakers are outstanding.
So one of the aspects about this festival that is intriguing me a lot is the implementation of 360 VR. Why was this element incorporated into the festival?
That's the way of the future, baby.
Darn tootin'. Well, you know, like I was saying, we like to stay on the forefront and look towards the future. And VR 360 isn't going away anytime soon. And like I was saying before, you know, we got to champion those independent filmmakers as well. So we added that category this year, and we selected two films. And then we're also working with Claudio Lai out of Fluidcast with the El Paso Impact Fest, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind enough to provide the VR equipment for us. And he's also going to allow us to use one of his films, which is an award-winning film. So it's really nice to have that film as well as the two films that we selected to be a part of that package.
So for those who aren't aware of what VR is and what kind of that filmmaking experience is like, how would you describe that?
VR stands for virtual reality, and it's basically a film shot in 360 degrees, which means when you're wearing the headset, you're not just looking forward. You are literally in the middle of the movie. So if somebody is talking and they're looking past you, if you turn your head, you can see the person that they're talking to behind you. You're basically a voyeur in the middle of the scene. And so if they make a gesture towards, you know, that clock, you can look over and see the clock that they're gesturing to. If a dog enters the room and they're looking at you, can actually look down and see the dog. Everything there is as though you're a ghost in the middle of this room. It's really hard to do, too. So props to these guys who are able to pull it off.
Absolutely. And the films we picked, man.
Yeah.
You know, we got a really cool music video. Imagine walking up and looking at the guy playing the guitar as he's playing the guitar.
Yeah, it's like being in the garage while a garage band is performing. You can look around and see everything.
And you don't interrupt their performance because they can't see you.
Yeah.
You're a ghost, just like what David was saying.
Yeah.
And that is Tragicomedia, and the band is La Cinema, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. The other two are documentaries. And
it's Home with America.
And The Wall.
And The Wall.
I'm really looking forward to those. Documentaries fascinate me anyway, but doing one in 360, I've only ever seen music videos and short films that make use of that. And there are a few on YouTube where basically you roll your mouse around. But this is,
you're wearing headsets and in swivel chairs, right?
Yeah.
And so you're there. You swing around. And with documentaries, you know, they're very immediate, you know, and they're people that are talking about their lives, and you're basically sitting right there with them.
Yeah, this one of Home with America is really interesting because essentially you're walking through someone's home from the past. So mm-hmm. you're getting a piece of history at the same time while someone's talking to you as a narrator. And you can just look around at everything like you're in a museum, essentially. Yeah, it's like almost a virtual museum. I'd look at that one like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you see virtual reality sort of spilling over and becoming mainstream in the way 3D did?
Oh, absolutely. I think there are people working on that right now. And if the studios could figure out how to do it,
the next
Marvel movie would be in 360.
Yeah. I mean, if they were
it's
able
expensive.
To do 3D without glasses, or say VR 360 where you're just wearing those light glasses that you wear for 3D.
Yeah.
As they get more comfortable with the pieces that you're wearing, more people are going to do it. It's always about convenience and being able to have access and make it so that you're able to do it for hours at a time rather than only 15 minutes because the headset's too heavy.
Yeah, and I'm also thinking they're going to have to develop theaters that are specifically for that.
Yes.
You know, with the swivel chairs so that you can swing around without bumping into people. And
yeah, and we're actually on the all that's getting figured out right now at film festivals with this new category of VR 360. They're figuring out how to make it work that way.
And Claudio, he lives right here in El Paso.
Yeah.
He's on the forefront.
Yes, and he's international, man. He works with Australia, other places as well, you know. So yeah, definitely getting into the game the right way.
And in El Paso, that's the best part about it.
Oh, yeah.
So right here. I got time for one more question, and I'm always curious about this whenever I meet filmmakers, and it's a simple one. Why did you guys become filmmakers?
He saved the biggest question for last.
Yeah. It's an existential.
I'll let David handle that one first.
Well, I consider myself a creative person. I have been a published writer for almost 40 years, which I think is giving a little too much away. But storytelling, it's always about storytelling for me. And the ability to do it visually has always been something that I have looked forward to. So being able to take some of my writing, write them as scripts, and then watch them come to life, that's what it's all about for me.
So I got into film a little differently. Of course, you know, my dad had a good old JVC huge boom box that he used to carry around and record me all the time. And then I got a little older and I started taking that camera and making little short films. And then I kind of got away from it, went into the military, met a really awesome battle buddy, and we started making little films together, little skit things. And we made about 5 while we were in the military. And then I was lucky enough to get stationed at the missile range, and Transformers 2 came through. And I was lucky to have a speaking part in that movie. So while I was on set during all that time, I was doing exactly what I was talking about earlier. Wow, everyone's smiling. Mm-hmm. What kind of hours do you guys work? 12, 16-hour days, you know, talking like they're all tough. I'm like, you're talking to a soldier, but okay. that's fine. 12, 16-hour days, talking tough. All right, gotcha. Now, there's a little different, though. Are you happy? And they're like, yes, I am extremely happy. And that sold me right then and there that I wanted to be a filmmaker, because I was like, I like 12, 16-hour days.
Yeah.
I just want to be happy when I do it. And film was the way to do that. So I was very fortunate to be in that movie and have that experience, because I wouldn't be a filmmaker today unless it was for that.
Yeah. And Dave actually went to college for it. He went to CMI. He is a graduate in the film school. I'm not. I worked for Paramount back in the 90s. I have worked on little projects here and there. The stuff I do is very low-key independent. This guy here, he's gonna be big. So I'm happy to be working with him.
And you also are advocates for the local film scene. I mean, I think you're raising up a lot of voices in this region and across the world.
Well, you know, that's why do something like this unless you're going to do that?
Absolutely.
It should be positive. People should walk away feeling better. And you really want to make sure that the local environment is affected in a positive way as well. Yes.
And I believe that that is what sets us apart from everybody else.
I've been talking with David Salcido and Dave Witt, co-founders of the Border Scene Film Festival. The festival is set to take place from September 6th through 9th in Las Cruces, New Mexico. The opening night film will screen at Allen Theater Cineport 10 before shifting locations to Allen Theater's Video 4 for individual films and film blocks. The shift takes place from September 7th through September 9th. For tickets and more information, visit borderscene.org. Encoded will make the films available to watch online beginning September 4th. On Film's producer and engineer is Seth Van Meter. An archive of past programs can be found at ktep.org. I'm Kyle Alvarado, sitting in for Charles Horak. Thank you for joining me for On Film.